Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in. And now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God. Hallelujah.
It's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, resting on you. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
Amen, 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 and praise God. We give God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, hallelujah, for this glorious day and for another opportunity to come and be of in his service and service to him as we advance his kingdom through the study of the all-sustaining, all-powerful Word of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone that has tuned in tonight. We pray that everyone has had a great weekend and enjoyed the celebration of America's 245th birthday, praise God. And we thank God for our Heavenly Father and for this land. We, no matter what's going on here in the United States of America, we still thank God for his presence and being amongst the land of one nation, hope and one day again, soon to be under God, indivisible with liberty and not justice for some, but praise God, justice for all. We give God all praise, honor, and glory. We thank God for you as well, and you and your families, everyone that is tuned in. We just pray blessings over you. Thank you for allowing us this time tonight and for all of us to be able to come together in the study of God's word. We give also to honor to our Covenant Fellowship Church, Light of the World Christian Tabernacle, located in Stockbridge, Georgia, under the leadership of Senior Pastor Bishop Kevin Jones and Founder Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. And we just give God more than anything. We praise God for Jesus, hallelujah, and our salvation, hallelujah, in him and God's presence with us tonight. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started with tonight's program. We have tonight, I will be ministering, praise God, and we're going to talk about the topic of pride. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the topic of pride. And before we get started, we're going to usher in the presence of the Lord with a song. Then the next voice you will hear will be that of Pastor Jasper Whitehurst, bringing us to the throne of grace in prayer. And then we will get started in the study of God's word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every praise, Hezekiah Walker says, belongs, and we agree, to our God.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Praise. Praise God, praise God, every praise. When you see me dancing, when you see me shouting, praise your holy name, Lord. Let's pray. We have a Father, we praise you. We thank you for this glorious day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer, praise, and getting honor to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're getting to your word, Father, Lord. Bring forth your word with might, with power, Father, Lord, the living word of God, Father. We pray for your people in this hour, Lord. Bless and guide and keep them in your protection, Lord, and pray for their provision, Lord, and pray for your love and kindness be all over their life, Father. And let your will be done this day, Lord, and the woman of God bring forth your words. To God be all honor, praise, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, and we give God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And I just ask that the Lord use me tonight, and I thank God for his anointing, and I pray, Lord God, none of me, but all of you, and that you just saturate the hearts and minds of the hearers tonight, and that this word will be a blessing and grace unto them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has laid on my heart to speak with you on the topic, as I said earlier, of pride. Of pride. And for a topic, the title is The Dangers of Pride, a Sin Older Than the Earth Itself. Believer, beware.
All right now.
Well, what is pride? What is pride? Pride is not always negative. I'm just going to take a little bit of time to teach tonight, so bear with me. There is a good pride that carries with it a positive connotation. That type of pride that you should display when purposing to complete a task and to do it to the best of your ability. Or that type of pride that you display when your first child or your grandchild is born. Oxford defines this pride as a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction that's derived from one's achievement, the achievements of those whom one is closely associated with, or from qualities that are widely admired. Some synonyms of this type of pride are pleasure, delight, fulfillment, and gratification. This is the type of pride that the Apostle Paul conveyed when speaking to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. When he conveyed this, he said, when speaking to the church, he said, great is my confidence in you. Great is my pride in you. I am filled with encouragement. In our troubles, my joy overflowed. In other words, he was filled with encouragement, and he was filled with pride and joy for those that he was speaking to at the church of Corinth. There is even a sense of godly pride that leaves the believer in Jesus Christ elated, or should leave them elated, about their salvation and their name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's something to be joyful about. A godly pride and joy that should exuberate and overflow from one knowing that they are a child of the Most High God. This type of pride can only truly be authenticated with acknowledging that nothing can be accomplished without the power
Judah. We're talking about a good pride. Yet, there is also a negative pride. And the Bible speaks more of this pride from the standpoint of a warning to those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ. This negative pride is a self-centered, arrogant pride. That is a pride that is dangerous and is the oldest sin in the universe. Well, why do you say that, Pastor Constance? Well, it is this pride that caused Lucifer to fall from heaven. Mm. Let's talk a little bit about that. I'd like to just share a few highlights about this world-shaking event. Before his fall, Lucifer was part of the angelic host. His name was Lucifer because it meant the star of the morning. He was held in a high-ranking position in the angelic host. He had exquisite beauty and great wisdom. He had been given a position of great power and influence. He was called the guardian cherub. Dr. David Jeremiah says this about this type of sinful pride that engulfed Lucifer. He said, many Bible scholars through the years have seen in the proclamation against the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 17, as a description of the fall of Satan. This scripture passage reads like this. It says, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You are blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mouth of God and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud. It became filled with pride. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. And you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made you a spectacle before kings. Since Lucifer had been the model of perfection, what sort of sin led to his fall? It was the sin of pride. His heart became proud because of his incredible beauty. Lucifer allowed his perfection to be the cause of his corruption. But God's judgment fell on Lucifer. Lucifer was not satisfied worshiping God. Instead, he wanted to be worshiped. That's that spirit of pride. Once a beautiful, powerful angel of God, he lost his former and exalted position in heaven. Isaiah 14:12-15 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you are weakened, you who weakened the nation. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Oh, my God. And you can hear that personal pronoun just magnified through this passage of I. Yet you shall be brought down, says this scripture, speaking about Lucifer. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. Lucifer, the star of the morning, became Satan, the accuser. He fell from earth. Jesus, speaking of this event, he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven," in Luke 10:18. When Satan fell, brothers and sisters, he did not fall alone. Scripture tells us that he took of the angels in Revelation 12, considering that the angelic host numbered more than 10,000, which is a sizable group, they account for the fallen or demonic angels. He took one-third of the angelic host. They followed him. As a result, Satan is fallen, but powerful spirit beings with a well-organized network of demonic powers to help him to accomplish his purpose. And what is his purpose? His purpose is, according to John 10:10, to steal, to kill, and destroy. Oh, that's the bad news. However, the good news is that even though he took with him one-third of the angelic host, the good news is that two-thirds of the angels stand on our side. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
As the prophet Elijah said to his servants, "Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't be afraid, because those who are with us are far more greater than those who are with them."
Amen.
Those who are with us as the children of the Most High God are far more greater than those that are with our enemy Satan. Oh, yes, they are. As Christians, we have an even greater asset than the majority of angels on our side. And that greater asset is in the one who saved us from our sins, the one who defeated Satan, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who conquered Satan on the cross at Calvary. And that one is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ezekiel verses 28 through 17, I want to read. was lifted up because of your beauty. Your corrupted wisdom for the sake of your splendor. Paul warns us in 1 Timothy 3 and 6 about becoming puffed up with pride and falling into the same condemnation as Lucifer, as the devil. John reminds us that the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Sinful pride is taking our eyes off God and all he has done for us. That's what allows pride to begin to creep in. When we take our eyes off of God and take our eyes off of all that he has done for us and preoccupy ourselves instead with our appearance, with our possession, with our attributes, with our accomplishments, it is so easy to do. And it can happen in a flash. And yes, it can even happen in the midst of worship. We let down our guard for a moment, and then pride slips in like a burglar through an unlatched window. Peter warns that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if we long for God's grace and God's favor, then we can remain vigilant against this sin, which is the oldest sin that occurred even before the world was established. We have to remain vigilant. We have to remain under the grace of and favor of God. We have to be able to know that, yes, greater is he that's on the inside of us than anything and anyone that's in this world. Because of Lucifer yielding to the sin of pride, the Holy Scripture supports that pride is often, hear what I'm telling you, saints, pride is often the underlying cause of many other sins. Pride is often the underlying cause of disgrace. Proverbs 11 and 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Pride is often the underlying cause of strife. Proverbs 13 and 10 says that where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride is often the underlying cause of destructive behavior. Proverbs 16 and 18 tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Lord detests pride. He detests all that are of a prideful heart. And the word scripture tells us, be sure of this, that those that have a heart that is filled with pride will not go unpunished. When pride creeps into our hearts, we don't just have a devil problem. We have also a God problem. Why? Because God says that he actually will resist. So someone who has pride in their life. 1 Peter 5:5 tells us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do you resist the spirit of pride? You do that by, again, humbling yourself under God's mighty hand. And when you humble yourself, according to 1 Peter 5:5, under God's mighty hand, he will exalt you in due time. The only way that we can develop true freedom from the sin of pride is learning to keep ourselves humble. No matter what you are doing in service to God, always ask God, Heavenly Father, no matter how you elevate me, help me, Father, to remain humble, humble before you. Deliverance does not occur solely because we resist the enemy, but it only occurs when we first submit to God and then cultivate a life of walking humbly before him. We must learn to get under God's authority. Well, what do you mean by this, Pastor Constance? This getting under God's authority, this process is a process of humility. And this process of humility sets us up under the authority of God. True spiritual humility is about submission, helping us to walk humbly under God and those that he has placed in authority over us. In this journey, humility allows us to become moldable under God's hand, allowing him to form what is missing and heal what has been damaged within us. The false humility that many show, where they beat themselves down and self-reject, is a counterfeit to true humility. God has never ended. God has a never-ending supply of grace and empowerment for the humble. I've got to say that again. God's grace, oh yes, Scripture teaches us that God's grace is more than sufficient. He has a never-ending supply of grace and empowerment for those who are humble. But when pride enters the picture, we can expect that flow can be stifled. God even says that he hates a proud look. That's not Pastor Constance. That's the word of God. It says in Proverbs 6:16-17, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him, and one is a proud look. God is more concerned about the inward heart, which shows his distaste for the work of pride in people's lives. He is tuned into the attitude of our heart. Being prideful is a heart issue. We have to allow God to be able to come in and do open heart surgery to be able to remove out sinful pride and restore in us a clean heart and a right spirit, as the scripture teaches, within us. In our brokenness, we will take the route of humility for healing. or will we walk the avenue of pride? That the choice is yours. We've got a decision to make. Will you take the route of godly humility, submitting yourself to the authority of Almighty God, or will you walk in the self-centeredness and the avenue of pride? Well, how do you tell if you've got a pride issue? Well, there are some common signs that follow those that struggle with the issue of pride. One, they have the inability to admit that they struggle with pride. One of the first steps to resolving any issue is to acknowledge that the issue exists. This tells us that those that struggle with pride, they refuse to admit that there is an issue of pride. Very seldom do these that struggle, those that struggle with pride, accept responsibility for growth and change. Very seldom those that struggle with pride are willing to apologize or repent before others. Do you know anyone like this? We all have time because of, and I'm including myself even in the midst of this, if we are truthful with ourselves, there has been times that we all struggle from time to time with issues of pride. But, again, as I stated earlier, when we struggle, we have to admit it, and we have a choice to make. Some of the other common signs of pride are someone who believes that they know it all. They are in constant defense of themselves. They have no one with authority to speak in their lives, and the reason that they don't is because they wouldn't listen anyway. They don't like being told what to do. They're not teachable. They seldom ask for help. They don't take time to laugh at themselves. They take things too seriously. They appear to have everything in life under control, or so they want to make you believe. They lack tolerance and patience for others and others' ideas and others' problems and others' feelings. Why? Because that spirit of pride causes one to be self-centered. They're unable to listen to others because that spirit of pride causes them to only want to hear and succumb to what they have to say. They appear to be a know-it-all. Huh. Many times those that are filled with the spirit of pride become sarcastic, caustic, and often have comments that are biting toward other people. Many that have the spirit of pride have puffed themselves up so much that they look down on other people and react negatively to the opinions and comments of others. Those are just some of the symptoms, those that are these types of traits that are symptomatic of those that deal with the spirit of pride. There's also a spirit of pride, or the spirit of pride, that has crept into our churches. How could this be? Into those who are spirit-filled churches, really? That place that is supposed to be a house of healing, that place that is supposed to be a place that welcomes all, that place that's supposed to be a place of prayer, a place of restoration, a place of revitalization, but yet this spirit of pride that comes from the enemy has crept into our churches. Many ministry leaders have succumbed to the evil clutches of the spirit of pride. They become prideful when God brings elevation. They become prideful when they take their eye off of God and begin to focus on the money and the income, the numbers, the size of the congregation. They become prideful when the congregant began to worship the messenger more than the message. They become prideful when the congregants begin to worship the messenger more than the source of the message. Again, pride comes before the fall, and their church and the congregants are the casualties of the deadly fallout. But this does not have to be so. 2 Timothy 3 and 1 through 9 describes the church in the last days. It says, but understand this, that in the last days, in the last time, difficulties will come. Here's the spirit of pride. It says, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, opposed to what is good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than loving God. This is the outcome of the spirit of pride. They will maintain the outward appearance of religion, but will have repudiated its power. So avoid people like this, for some of these insinuate themselves into households, listen ladies, and captivate weak women who are overwhelmed with sin and led along by various passions. Such women are always seeking instruction, yet never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. We're talking about the spirit of pride. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these people who have warped minds are disqualified in the faith, also oppose the truth. But they will not go much further, for their foolishness, according to Scripture, will be obvious to everyone, just like it was to Jannes and Jambres. But yet, my brothers and sisters, in closing, it does not have to be so. If you yield yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, if you study you humble yourselves under the power and the word of God, the spirit of pride and anything of the enemy has got to flee. You don't have to succumb to the spirit of pride. The word tells us submit yourselves then to God. And in submitting yourself to God, then you are resisting the devil. And he has got to flee from you. As a reminder again, as scripture taught, there are more with us, hallelujah, than with them. For greater is he that is on the inside of you than anything, including the spirit of pride, that's in this world. I pray and I ask the Heavenly Father, Lord God, in closing, I lift up your word, Father God, before your people. I pray, Lord, and I ask Heavenly Father, that if any of us, Lord, as we all have at one point or another dealt with pride, remove the spirit of pride. Allow us, Lord God, to come before you humbly, Lord God, humbling ourselves before your mighty hand, humbling ourselves before the authority of our Heavenly Father, humbling ourselves by reading, studying your word to show ourselves approved as workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we thank you, Lord God, that your word teaches us that, yes, we are more than conquerors through Christ that loves us. That greater, yes, is he that is on the inside of us, that Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that leads us, that guides us into all truth. Greater, hallelujah, is he that is on the inside of us, saints, than he that is in the world. Resist the enemy, and he has got to flee from you. I pray that this word has been a blessing to you and grace to the hearers.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for Pastor Compton bringing for that powerful word. Amen. Thank God for the woman of God sharing the word of God on this hour. What a joy, what a blessing to know that we can overcome anything through Christ Jesus, even pride.
Amen.
The spirit of pride, praise God. Talking of the danger of pride, a sin older than earth itself. Believers, beware. We thank God for the bring forth that powerful word of God. Amen. On this hour, it's something we need to y'all may look at it, look ourselves in the mirror and pray to God that God would cleanse or induce pride we may have in our life, pray to God, because that we don't want to be count as a person that do not know how to humble ourselves before the mighty power of God. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for God's humility. We thank God to recognize different signs of pride that we may have in our life, that God can deal with that as well. Amen.
Yes, he
God,
can.
All things are possible. God can take care of pride. He can take care of sin, spirit of pride. Amen. We pray that God create us a clean heart, Lord. You knew the right spirit and fill with us through his Holy Spirit. And we do not carry on in this fashion. Amen. If we do, you know, we can repent of and go to the Father. He can take care of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank God for that powerful word on this hour. Amen. What a powerful word to know. To know that we can learn to humble ourselves before Almighty God, amen, our Heavenly Father, amen. Don't get caught up in pride. Don't get caught up in pride in our hearts, our mind, and spirit. We thank you, Lord, for this word of God, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. This is a message for food for thought. It's not one that tickles the ears, but it's one that the Holy Spirit says is necessary by the grace of God to be heard.
So we're going to go ahead and open our lines up right now.
Tonight.
Is there any or tonight that would care is to share in on this topic? We're talking about pride.
Amen.
Tonight, the oldest sin, the sin that was even here before the establishment of the world, pride. It's still really that spirit of pride that is occurring, as we talked about in many of our churches. We are allowing too much of the world to come in, too much compromise with the world. And many and at the foundation of that thought process is the spirit of pride. And so we need to be in prayer for our leaders, saints.
Amen.
We need to be in prayer for our leaders that they do not succumb, praise God, to the spirit of pride. Is there one tonight that would care to share in this conversation?
Testimony.
Is there one tonight that has a testimony?
Amen.
Is there one tonight that have a prayer request, a comment about this word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you are, hallelujah, we have one, and those that would like to tune in or dispatch yourself into the studio for a comment, simply just press 1 on your dial pad, and we will be happy to allow you to join us in this conversation. Caller, your last 4 digits are 4984. Praise God. Go right ahead, please.
To God be the glory. I'd like to thank Pastor Constance Whitehurst for a powerful word, letting us know how our flesh will act up and letting us know that it ain't nothing but that old thing called pride. It was beautifully the way she let us know that it can easily come in and it will stay. Well, only God can get it out of us. So
Amen.
I want to say thank
Amen.
You for that encouraging, powerful word so we can have a watchful eye of things
yes,
on
ma'am.
The inside of us that hinder the
yes.
work of God. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Elder Green, for those powerful comments. To God be the glory. Amen. We have to certainly be watchful. We have to be watchful, saints. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, amen. Caller, your last 4 digits of 4979. Go right ahead, please. Praise God.
Yes, great, great evening, family. This is Pastor Baker. So I wanted to say hello to Pastor Jasper and Pastor Constance. And the Lord bless you tonight. And thank you so much for that awe-inspiring word that you shared, and certainly about pride. And boy, that I felt a sense of conviction when you was talking. I said, "Oh my God!" And but I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit just dealing with you, because it's really good what you talked about. It's so connected to us dealing with our internal resources, not so much the external things and who we are about,
mm-hmm.
the things that will allow us to go forth, the things that will allow us to grow internally.
Amen.
And character and the things that are pleasing to God. So it was, I really was blessed just to hear that, and really encouraged to know that that God is still, you know, doing a work even in your life, that you never get too high for God to speak to you. And out of nowhere, you speak about something, like you said, the sin before the sin, right? Before the world was formed. And you spoke so many great, you know. And you spoke so many, some of the people that you used, David Jeremiah, wow. I love David Jeremiah. He's somebody that I grew up on. When I came into ministry, when I was in seminary, you know, through my years in seminary, so he's someone I used to follow and you know, get his books and all of that. So you know, there was just so much that I almost forgot about him, if the truth is told, you know. But you brought so much back to me. Yeah, yeah. But you just, you know, I was just blessed, you know, and thank you for keeping me on my toes. That's what God's word does to us. It helps to keep us on our toes. We never arrive, you know. We're being perfected, you know. We're being perfected. We never arrive. Yes. And I'm grateful for what you shared, and let God continue to use you and you and Pastor Jasper. You both are doing such an amazing job. The kingdom is better because of you. The kingdom is better because of you. And thank you for not tickling my ears tonight. And thank you for challenging my heart tonight. And I really appreciate you. So God bless you. I just wanted to let you know I was here for the I was here with you. I just wanted to share that.
Yes,
God bless
sir.
Both of you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. God bless you as well, God's Pastor great. Baker.
Amen.
To God be the glory. And we just thank God. Next week, Pastor Baker will be here sharing, praise God, on the broadcast. And we want everyone to tune in to be able to receive the word that God has laid on his heart, praise God.
Amen.
And we thank God for you, man of God.
Amen.
And we give God praise. Is there another one tonight? Just press 1 on your dial pad, praise God. And as we're waiting, we're going to go ahead. We will not be remiss not to give the opportunity for salvation and assume that everybody on the line is saved. So Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if we confess with our heart and believe with our mouth upon the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, then we shall. And so it's just as simple as saying, Heavenly Father, allow your son, Jesus Christ, to come into my life. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. Take up a root within me. Take up home within me and be in my life to lead and guide me for the rest of my life as Lord and Savior. And if you simply prayed a prayer as simple as that, accepting, believing, and confessing is as simple as A, B, and C, then God welcomed you into the kingdom of God tonight. And we welcome
Amen.
You
Praise
as a
God.
Fellow brother and sister in the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
And send us a text message or an email and let us know and find a church that is a Bible-believing church where God will lead you to be able to grow in him. Well, praise God, we're out of time this evening, but we give God all the praise. Go forth this week. Have an awesome week. Carry the word of God with you. And to God be all the glory. Praise God and blessings to you, saints.
Thank you.
Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We got a message to encourage you and let you know that no matter what you're going through, there's still glory coming. And it's coming after this. Clap your hands. Come on.
Victory. There will be victory. I turn it.
That God will turn it around.
God will turn it around.
to the moon.